If you found Philippians chapter 4 and you're able to, let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God. Philippians chapter 4, we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. Let's read the first 7 verses. The Bible says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Coming back to verse number 1, I have a phrase that is circled there that as the Apostle Paul is writing back to the saints and the church at Philippi, he said in verse 1, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for," and look how he addresses them, "my joy and crown." He's talking about the people. And I want to preach a little while this morning on the subject matter that I already gave to you on the joy of my church family. And I'm thankful for each and every one of you this morning. Let's pray, and then we'll see what the scriptures have to say. Father, we love you. Lord, I'm thankful that we have the promise from the Lord Jesus Christ that he would build his church. Lord, I'm thankful for the privilege that we have to be able to assemble together as a born-again, baptized group of believers. Lord, I'm thankful that I can call these that are here my brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, that's because we've been adopted into the family of God because of eternal salvation that Jesus provided on the cross. And Lord, I pray that you'd encourage our hearts. Would you strengthen us today? Would you draw us closer to you and closer to each other? And Lord, perhaps some others would see the joy of their church family. Lord, as you've so burdened my heart with this, thank you for your love to us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to keep your finger there in Philippians chapter number 4. And I want you to turn over with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, just a couple books over. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and you'll kind of see as the Apostle Paul, if you remember back in Acts chapter 16, that's where the first lady was actually saved there in Philippi, a lady named Lydia. And then we have the Philippian jailer that was saved. And then we read about in Acts chapter 17, as he had left and he'd gone through Thessalonica and he'd gone to Berea and we'd seen some souls that were recorded that were saved there. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I want you to see what Paul thought about these believers that were over in Thessalonica. He said in verse number 17, he said, "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence." Now, if you remember Thessalonica, they were coming after him, desiring to kill him, okay? Desiring to take his life. And he said, "We were taken from you in presence, but not in heart," he said, "endeavoring the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing?" And here's the answer to that question that Paul asked. "Are not even ye, in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. And just in case you didn't understand that phrase, verse 20, for ye are our glory and joy. And I thought, what a place that, first of all, we read the saints at Philippi and also hear the saints of Thessalonica. What a place they had in the heart and the life of the Apostle Paul. As Paul would pour his life into them and many times suffer through the, whether it be the beatings and the scourgings, as the Bible calls it, and then the whippings, and then being shipwrecked, and over the trials and tribulations that the Apostle Paul went through in order that the gospel may be able to go forth, and then to be able to see some of them that he preached the gospel to be able to see them saved, to be able to see their lives changed. No doubt to be able to see families put together and families be rescued and individuals be saved from vices and things that are in their life that they receive deliverance from. And I thought, as only the Apostle Paul could, and I was asked this question several years ago. I had a pastor down in Massachusetts, and we were sitting down for lunch, and he said, here's a quick question from you, you know, trying to stump the preacher next to you. What did the Apostle Paul say was his crown and glory? And I said, well, according to the Bible, it was the people that he was ministering to. And I want to try to give you some insight, and I don't know, outside of a pastor's heart, and there's a couple of them that are seated here today that pastored for years, they'll have a little more of an insight into what I'm trying to convey to you this morning on the joy that is in my heart. But not just in my heart, I want to remind you this morning, and if you don't know this, you are my joy and my crown. Now, the burden that was upon Paul's heart, as we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, and here's why some that have not come back in for service, they may not understand this statement as the Apostle Paul was saying it. But for Paul to be able to say that I may see your face, that I may see your face. And Paul was saying, ye are my joy and my crown. And the place that God puts the people of a church in the heart of their pastor. And I just want to pour out my love to Granite State Baptist Church this morning. And I just want to tell you how much I love you. And I want to tell you that you're my joy, you're my crown, and nobody ever better mess with my joy or crown. I get very defensive when they start talking about our church family. Very defensive if they start talking negative. Now listen, I know we're all human, and guess what? Your pastor's human. But you're my joy and crown. And I'm thankful for that. And I love you this morning. Come back with me to Philippians chapter number 4. And I want to show you some characteristics and why I believe Paul was able to say to the saints here at Philippi and also the saints at Thessalonica. And I've just got several things written down here that I want to share my heart, because it would be true in many cases about Granite State Baptist also. And I don't want there to be any doubt whatsoever about how much your pastor loves his church. The Bible says in verse number 1, my joy and crown, and then gives this phrase, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I believe Paul was encouraging them as his joy and crown, number one, for a commitment to stability in walking with God. a commitment to stability in their walk with God. Stand fast, church. Not just stand fast in the things of this world, but stand fast, as the Apostle Paul said, in the Lord, for the things of the Lord, in the doctrine of the Lord. You know what I'm thankful? I'm thankful that we have some church folks that are here. Now, some aren't settled exactly where you and I are, maybe, and they don't have some things nailed down, but I'm thankful for some that have some things confirmed and have some things established, and it's okay to stand fast in the Lord and have it settled. And unwavering when it comes to the doctrine that is laid out in the Word of God. That we're not compromising on it. We're not changing on it. You know what's thankful? Is there some, when I see some visitors talking to some members of our church, maybe if they had some questions about doctrine or positions, there's some I'm saying, I don't worry one bit about what they're telling to them. They're telling them the same thing that they would hear from me. And in some cases, they need to hear it from someone else besides the pastor. And what Paul is writing back here to the church at Philippi and saying, my joy and my crown, and because you are that, so stand fast in the Lord. Stay true. Have a foundation to be able to stand upon. May I say this? Without apology, we will continue to stand, not because of the position of the pastor, but I know that my joy and my crown that is seated here at Granite State Baptist Church desires to stand firm and to stand fast upon the doctrine of the Word of God and upon salvation and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not changing that. And it's not just the pastor that is desiring to stand there. But I can guarantee you this, that if the pastor no longer stood there, there would be some that would be meeting me before the end of the service saying, hey, that's not here. That's not here. And Paul is encouraging them, listen, you're my joy in the crown, but listen, you need to commit to stability. So stand fast in the Lord. There are some that may be here and you say, I'm just trying to figure out what's going on with Granite State Baptist Church. I'll tell you what's going on. We're going to stand fast in the Lord, and this is who we are, and we're not changing. And if you want a church that's going to hold to the Word of God, if you want a pastor that's going to stand up every service without apology and open up the Word of God and say, thus saith the Lord, then I believe you're in the right place. And by the grace of God, we have a group of people that's seated here today that may be under the sound of my voice, upstairs or downstairs, that's willing to stand fast in the Lord and not to change, not to back down, a commitment to stability and not wavering. You're not going to have to wonder. And listen, can I say this? As my joy and my crown, I don't have to wonder where a majority of people are standing in their Christian life right now. I don't have to wonder, hey, now I'll say that, oh, are the Hebrews going to change their doctrine this next week? I wonder where the Hunters are going to be next week on their doctrine. Can I say this? I don't stay awake at night saying, I wonder if my joy and my crown are changing doctrine overnight. It's not happening. And Paul said, stand fast. Stand fast in the Lord. Make sure we understand where the firm foundation is. It's in none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say this? I love you for enjoying Bible preaching. And in some cases, enduring Bible preaching. And I'm not saying because it was bad preaching. I'm just saying there's sometimes I sit there and listen to a preacher and I'm saying, man, if I can just endure to the end of this, because he has my address today. He's preaching right where I live. He knows what's going on in my life. And endure through that, be able to get some things right with God and be able to repent and get right with God. There's some preachers I've had come in and I'm saying, man, they're going to preach a little hard. But I'm thankful and saying, hey, we get some people that can handle it. They can handle it. That's why it doesn't bother me to read off who that list of preachers is going to be over there at the conference. Because listen, we got some people that can handle it. And as long as it's Bible, guess what? We'll take it. And we'll apply it to our hearts and lives. A commitment to stability. I'm thankful that we don't have a church family that is so wavering and wishy-washy on following a man that they're changing doctrine and changing everything from week to week. That I don't have to get up on a Saturday and be able to say, I wonder which way the wind's blowing today so I can please this half of the congregation today. And maybe next week I'll come back and it'll be your turn. And just your luck, you're going to switch sides and it'll never be your turn to be able to get a piece. You know what I found out? And I found this out. And listen, you know this. And I understand this. There's not one time in my life that I'm going to make every one of you happy. And I understand that. And boy, is it ever coming to the realization as we move on and God brings more people in and God's growing His church, I'm realizing there's going to be someone that's not happy. But I do have someone that I do need to make happy. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for my joy and my crown and the commitment to stability. But then I want you to see this. And here's an encouragement that needed to be made in verse number 2. You have, and may I say this and remind us, and it's not in a negative sense, but it is two ladies that are mentioned here in verse number 2, Euodias and Syntyche. And obviously there was some type of disagreement and some type of issue between the two. And I know this has never happened before that two women got upset at each other. But I will say this, here's what Paul said to the church here in Philippi. He said, I beseech. Do you realize that's almost the strongest English word for saying, I beg you, I implore you, Euodias, and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Can I encourage us today, and I want to say the joy of my church family in that there is unity in the church body. There is absolutely nothing worse than first-time visitors walking inside of a church and experiencing brothers and sisters in Christ arguing and fighting with each other. There's nothing worse than that. That ought not. Now listen, I'm not saying not taking a stand for doctrine. I'm not saying, listen, we don't disagree on that, but there ought not to be that between brothers and sisters in Christ. And what Paul is beseeching both of them, and isn't it interesting, I believe Paul even knew how to word things under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He said, I want you to know I'm beseeching both of you. I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche. That way Syntyche couldn't come back to Euodias and say, hey, see, he said that to you. He said, no, I'm begging, I'm imploring, I'm beseeching both of you to be of the same mind in the Lord. In other words, whatever was taking place, get it right and be in unity. And I'm thankful. Now listen, it hasn't always been pleasant, but I'm thankful when there is something, hey, I don't like to let it sit and stew. And it may get dealt with sooner than what you think it ought to be dealt with, but I don't want it sitting. Things need to be right with each other. And I'm thankful. Hey, now to the best of my knowledge, and nobody's told me. And this is what I tell people. Hey, everything's around. How's everything around the church? I said, as far as I know, I said, everything's going well, but don't tell me different. And most of the time, listen, I'll be one of the last ones that know. And I understand that. And there may be things that take place. But I'm thankful. Listen, we've got some mature Christians that if something does take place, hey, go to each other, and you which are spiritual, restore such a one. Get things right with each other. And I'm thankful, hey, there's had to be some tough conversations that have taken place. And this is just 7.5 years. But people are still at the same church. You know why? Boy, what a joy that is. Imagine for Paul to be able to hear about that and say, hey, these two women are bickering down here at the church of Philippi. And listen, it was a big enough deal for him to write to him and say, I beseech you, be of the same mind. Imagine when he heard back and said, hey, it's all okay. My joy and my crown. Because listen, those things are going to happen. How many have found out? Listen, it can be in a husband-wife relationship. It can be amongst church members. It can be in a family. But disagreements come, don't they? How many's never had one in their life? Never fought, never. Mary, my wife and I have been married 21 years, and we've never had an argument. because I just say, yes, dear. And it's never an argument. Hey, listen, we know those things happen, and we know that's going to take place. You know why? Because every one of us are made up of the same sinful flesh. You know what our joy and crown is? Get it right. Get it right. Unity. I'm reminded of Psalm 133 that says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You know, I'm thankful that we have a church family. My joy and my crown, that a church family can actually get along. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for that. But then look at this. He says in verse number 3. Now, I don't know if he's just following this up because he just told these two women in verse number 2 to be of the same mind. So obviously something had to be corrected. But then you come to verse number 3. Look at this. He turns around to the other side and says, hey, I want to mention these ladies been laboring with me in the gospel too. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers. And look at this phrase, whose names are in the book of life. Can I say this? I love my church, my joy, my crown, because we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we have a saved membership. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know my heart. If that's the first thing that comes to your mind, maybe you need to be saved today. Now, all I can do is take your word for it and kind of look at the fruit, and by their fruit ye shall know them. If there's no difference, there's no growing, there's no desire for that, there's no inclination towards the things of God, something may be wrong there. But I'm thankful for a church family. My joy, you know what I'm thankful for? That we can sit around and discuss Bible. Because there's some that are spiritually minded, that desire the things of God, that we have saved laborers at Granite State Baptist Church. Wouldn't it be horrible to go to a church that's full of lost people? Hey, there are churches out there like that, and you've been in them, and I've been in there, and I've walked in, I've walked out, and I said, I don't think God's within 100 miles of this place. I don't even know if that preacher was saved. I don't know. And hey, there's some that are going to stand before God and they're not saved. But you know as well as I do, it's just something refreshing. And can I just say this? I love you today and thank you for being a born-again Christian on your way to heaven. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that we have saved people at Granite State Baptist Church. That means, you know what happens? It means they're supposed to live different. It means they talk different. They act different. They're distinctly different from the world. And as I think about the Apostle Paul writing, and he names these, and make sure you help these women which labored with me in the gospel, and Clement also, and he closed that out, whose names are in the book of life. And I'm saying, Lord, what a blessing it is to be able to go to church. And listen, there's some that are seated here this morning. You know something? They got saved since we started the church. Boy, I'm thankful time and time again as I think back over the last 7.5 years of this church. Listen, I love you so much. I'm thankful for the souls that have been saved. I'm thankful for the ones that God has changed. Now listen, if you didn't get saved at Granite State Baptist Church, I understand. I didn't get saved at Granite State Baptist Church, and I'm still here. But I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for those that God's allowing us to be able to reach and to be able to make a difference in their life, be able to have a salvation testimony that God's doing something in their heart and life, and they're saved laborers. Imagine how it was for the Apostle Paul to be able to write back and be able to say, yeah, he brought up this lady and brought up this lady and brought up that man because he was able to lead them to the Lord. And I thought, what a blessing it is. Listen, the joy of my church family is we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Brothers and sisters, man, I appreciate that. Do you realize that Paul was even called Brother Paul? That's how I got Brother Jordan one time. He said, you can call me Jordan. I said, well, it's biblical. And he saw that verse. It said, Brother Paul. I said, there it is. We got Bible for it. Hey, listen, can I say that's a term of endearment to me. When I say brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, we're part of the same family. Our names are written down in the book of life. We know that this world is not that all that there is to life. But you know something? Hey, get used to it. If you're saved, I'm saved. We get to spend eternity together. I had a conversation with someone in the past couple weeks, and they said, do you think for some of those people that God may just give us a break for a couple weeks before we actually have to be around them for eternity? That maybe their mansion may be on the other side of heaven, and God just gives us just a little break. You understand? Some people you come in contact with, I said, I don't have anybody in my life that I would even think about that. But they said, do you think that God just... I said, listen, when we get there, we're all going to be perfect anyway. So all them flaws that we're picking out of everybody else and we're saying this is what's wrong with you and this is what's wrong with you, that's all going to be fixed when we're in heaven. And all of us are going to be just like you, as perfect as can be. But I'm thankful we get to spend eternity together. Church, I want you to know I love you this morning. My joy and my crown. I'm thankful. Look what the Bible says in verse number 6. I could spend time on verse number 4 and verse number 5 on rejoicing. You know, some of the greatest times I have in church is when we just sit back and rejoice and praise the Lord together. Some of the best times I have is when people are just thanking the Lord for what He's done in their life and in their heart. But let's jump down to verse number 6, my joy and my crown. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. My joy of my church family is that we have a church that knows how to pray together. And we got people in our church that, when I say this, and you may say, what's the distinction? We got some people in our church that know how to pray. And you know what encourages my heart and my life? Is there's some folks that I talk to, and they'll tell me there's not a day that goes by that they don't pray for me. Not a day goes by that they don't pray for my family. Can I say this? That's the greatest thing in the world that anybody could ever do, is be able to pray for someone else. You say, Pastor, are you worthy of the prayer? No, I need more people to do it because I need that much more prayer. And all God's people said, amen. Listen, I'm thankful that we have a praying church family, and not just for me and not just for our family, but for our church. And for the devil not to get a foothold. And for when things do start to go sour a little bit between individuals or between family, that, listen, the power of prayer can sure unite that church body once again. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, we have a praying church that God has given to us. I'm thankful for that. And I do need the prayers. And I'm thankful for those that come alongside and say, Pastor, I want you to know I prayed for you. I made mention of this last week, but there was a man who was here last week. He's back today. And he said, Pastor, he said, I feel like I can't do a whole lot. Feel like I can't do anymore. Can't climb up on a ladder. Can't paint a ceiling. Can't wash a window up on it. Can't do a whole lot of things. And I looked him in his eyeball and I said, do you pray for me? He said, every day of my life. I said, then you're doing more than hanging a board of sheetrock. You're doing more than painting a wall. You're doing more. You know why? Because they're praying. And I'm thankful we got people at Granite State Baptist Church that know how to pray. You say, who are they? Hey, you may not know who they all are, because listen, it is one of the most labor-intensive ministries that Granite State Baptist Church will ever participate in. Do you know why it's getting to the point that the prayer meeting at Granite State Baptist Church on Thursday nights, some of the attendance is dwindling a little bit? I'm not talking because of sickness or darkness or things along those lines, because it's work to pray. It's work. Be able to get on our face before the Lord and be able to spend some time in prayer. Well, that's not glorious, but I'm thankful for a church family that knows how to pray. You know what I believe the Apostle Paul knew? I believe he knew that the saints there at Philippi were praying for him. Do you know what? You know what helps me? What it may seem like, and people have said this, I don't believe I'm doing anything spectacular whatsoever. I really don't. I believe I'm a sinner saved by grace. You know what helps me to be able to just take on some things and just seem like it's impossible and just believe God's going to do it and that we're going to get through that? You know why that is? It isn't because of great faith of Peter Chamberlain. It's because I know we got to pray in church. And that's what makes the difference. That's what gives some confidence. That's what gives some boldness to be able to step forward, knowing that, listen, I may be standing physically by myself, but I got 100 that are behind me in prayer. And I'm saying, Lord, if you'll help us, my joy and my crown, people on their knees before the Lord, spending time with Him. And Paul's saying, hey, I just want you to know that. But then finally, look at this, verse number 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Can I say this? I'm thankful, and you may not understand this. I'm thankful for my joy and my crown and peaceful lives. Do you know that peace in our lives? Now listen, I'm not saying we don't deal with the things of this world. I'm not saying we don't deal with the same trials and tribulations that take place, but it is amazing the peace that a praying person can have. And the peace that is in our lives is directly related to the praying that we do on a regular basis. And hey, it's not that this thing gets taken away, but when we're praying, we're spending time with the Lord, and the Lord's reassuring our hearts, it's going to be okay. Because we have the Lord. We have Jesus. And spending time in prayer. You know what I'm thankful? Hey, there's not one family at Granite State Baptist Church that could not stand up here for the next hour and start going through all the problems that are prevalent in their lives. Every one of us, we have this, we have this, we have this, we have this, and I'm dealing with this. I mean, just on and on and on. But you know what I found out at Granite State Baptist Church? There's some stability in lives, and it just goes to show that there's some that they got a prayer life. And you know, all of this stuff may be taking place, but I'm spending time in prayer. And God has all of that. God will take all of that. We've learned how to be able to cast our care upon Him, for He careth for us. We've learned how to be able to yoke up with the Lord Jesus Christ because He's concerned about us. We've learned some of these things, and there is a peace that passeth all understanding that'll keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, the Apostle Paul said twice to do to two different bodies of believers, you're my joy and my crown. Now, here's where I want to encourage you. I hope you know that I love you. I hope you know that myself, our family, people in this church, we'll do everything we possibly can for you. You're our joy, our crown. But I want to say this. Don't let the crown get tarnished. Don't let it get dull. Don't let it get dusty. You say, what do you mean? Those things that the Apostle Paul mentioned and said, my joy and my crown, and comes down and itemizes and addresses the people that are there at that church. Hey, listen, I know some of you don't understand how I just absolutely enjoy being around you. Because some of you are sitting there saying, I don't enjoy being around you. And I understand. I get it. Do you realize? And listen, it's broken my heart, and you'll never know. You'll never know the joy that a church family brings to their pastor. And you'll never know the heartache that a church family brings to their pastor. You never know. I've had some, my personality, man, it just rubbed them wrong. They're not here today. They're not here. I was texting them, hey, I'm praying for you. Hey, how things going? They're like, what in the world are you doing? What are you contacting me for? What are you letting me know? Boy, I called another pastor. It wasn't a year after we started the church. And I called him. I was sitting in a hotel room. My family was in there. I think I was at prison down in Rhode Island. And I stepped out of that hotel room and I went and sat in the side of the hallway. And I got on the phone and I called a pastor and I said, what in the world am I doing wrong? He said, how many minutes do you have on your phone? And I said, I'm just talking. I said, I absolutely thrive and enjoy what's going on. And I said, being with people. And he said, my wife and I just sat on the couch last night and had that exact same conversation. He said, it's like they could care less if they ever talk to you. And I said, but that's not how I'm made up. And here's what he said to me. He said, I've determined, he said, you know, a shepherd's supposed to smell like sheep. Isn't that the truth? And he said, I'm just going to be around my people. And he said, I want them to know that I love them. I want them to know that I care about them. And God's brought me back over to this passage and to the best of my ability. And I know you'll never understand the love and the joy that's in my heart for you. I wouldn't rather be anywhere else. I'm thankful for those that are saved, that are living for God, that are stable. I'm thankful for those that are praying, those that are trying to pray, those that are trying to be faithful, and the little steps of growth that you see in someone's heart. I told a seasoned pastor after about 3 years after we started the church, and I called him pastor. I said, Pastor, I said, I never knew the joy that came from just what we would consider a baby step in the Lord. I said, on having someone show up and say, hey, what's prayer meeting? I want to pray with the church. I said, the joy. I said that brings what we say is just a baby step. But I said, the joy that it brings to a pastor. And I think the Apostle Paul expressed it best. And church, can I just read it again? And would you take it from my heart to you? Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. I echo what the Apostle Paul said. You have no idea the joy that it brings to see your face. And I may be the only one this week that says that to you. To see your face. But I hope you know it's from my heart. I hope you know. And Paul was reiterating it to the church at Philippi, to the saints there at Thessalonica. So I just want you to know you're my joy. You're my crown. And Granite State Baptist Church, if I don't tell you enough, I love you. I'm thankful for you. I wouldn't rather be anywhere else. And here's what I ask. Stay true to the Lord. Walk with Him. Stand fast. Be a praying people. Be a peaceful people. If you don't have Jesus in your life, can I say this? There's no better time than to get Jesus in your life than today. No greater time. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the family of God, whose names are in the book of life. The joy of my church family. Now, you know what I pray? Because he said, in the presence of his coming, be faithful. Stay true till we see the face of Jesus. Don't get wishy-washy. Don't say, hey, I'm going back. No, stay true to the Lord. Stay faithful. Don't let the crown get tarnished. Let's keep it polished. My joy and my crown.